Yeah, I always think actually that when I give a talk, I probably learn far more for myself because it really makes me think about things. So I became a Buddhist 5 years ago, and it feels like since then I've been kind of going forth from lots of things, probably a bit right in the kind of like that. So from being a completely non-spiritual, anti-spiritual person to being a spiritual one, from living in Guildford on my own to living in London in a community, from lots of wrong views and unskillful behaviour and so forth, I could continue. But what I want to talk about tonight is one particular thing that has probably been dominating my life for the past 18 months or so, and that's about going forth from my career, a career which probably was a core part of my identity for over 20 years. So I'm going to begin by looking at why I decided to do this before exploring what it's been like since leaving my job. So until 16 months ago, I was an academic sociologist working at a good university, the sociology department, another sociologist I'm afraid. The sociology department has an excellent reputation. It is highly valued by students and is regarded as being one of the top five sociology departments in the country. Now, I first joined the department as an undergraduate mature student over 20 years ago. I subsequently did a PhD and later secured a lectureship. I was a fairly popular lecturer amongst the students. I got good evaluations, they liked my modules. I was regarded as being a good colleague by the department and my friends. I did research, I published. In some cases, my research affected local and national government policy. So in terms of traditional markers of career success, I was doing very well. I had a respectable, secure, high status job. I had a very good salary. I had a good lifestyle, friends. I travelled widely with my job. It was interesting, it was challenging, and people I often met were impressed by what I did and who I was. And I kind of enjoyed that. See, the lack of humility is now coming out. And I think partly that was particularly important for me because I came from a working class background. I was the first person in my family to go to university. And so that actually kind of meant quite a great deal for me. So my career was core to my understanding of who I was. So you might kind of think, why on earth did I go forth from a career that I was successful in, one that meant so much to me, and indeed one that I'd spent a number of years studying in order to do? Buddhism. My reasons do all spring from my going for refuge to Three Jewels. Now, I was thinking about this earlier in the week, and I thought, well, it could be argued that being a sociology lecturer, and in my case I was examining social inequality, particularly looking at the intersection of gender, sexuality and ageing, is at worst ethically neutral, and at best it's beneficial. However, as I began to kind of deepen my own going for refuge, I began to question that on a number of different levels. So first of all, the environment of universities, and only you working universities will know, has changed considerably over the last 20 years or so. So there's been a kind of mass commercialisation of higher education. There's increasing pressure to secure ridiculous amounts of money to do research when you don't need that amount of money, and to continually publish, publish, publish. Universities have become businesses. And businesses are about making money, about surviving, about being competitive. And I increasingly found myself, or became more aware of, that I was working in a less than ethical environment. One that was not always serving the needs of students, and I don't think it was necessarily serving the needs of staff either. And I could kind of sit in the bar in the evening and criticise this and say, oh, I was personally against that kind of business model. But I really knew that it changed. It was changing my way of working. It was changing my attitude towards students. It was very difficult when they saw themselves as customers to actually not start seeing them as customers, and myself almost as a service provider. So it affected how I viewed my work. And as Sangharakshita says in Vision and Transformation, you cannot live and work in a corrupt and basically unethical society without to some extent being besmirched by it. So I began to kind of question that, the ethical nature of the environment I was working in. And I think linked to this, I became increasingly aware of how the three root poisons of greed, hatred, and ignorance that are the causes of suffering underpinned my motivations for work. I was very hungry for external validation, for success, for status, for money, so I could buy lots of useless things. I think I still do that, but to live a lifestyle that wasn't particularly ethical or beneficial to me or anyone else. I was hungry for my ego to be fed, for my sense of identity, of who I was, to be reinforced. And I'd certainly come to the right place, because academia is very much an ego-driven business. If you work in it, you get caught up in it. It's inevitable, and I think it's probably part of why you want to be an academic in the first place. So again, I become besmirched by it. And I remember my first few experiences of coming here, and it was really interesting because nobody was either impressed or unimpressed by what I did. And I found that both liberating and really, really disconcerting at the time. But there was something very powerful about not having that part of me reflected back in the way that I was very used to. It actually enabled me to kind of stand back and see it in a different light as well. So there was greed, but there was also aversion and hatred and ignorance. In part, I chose to study sociology because I disliked particular groups of people. Right-wing politicians, fundamental Christians, particular groups of men, capitalists, military-industrial complex, racists, homophobes, sexists, the list goes on. In short, any group of people that disagreed with my view of the good society. As an academic sociologist, I was kind of paid to have opinions. Fair enough, they were dressed up as objective theories. I could kind of go out and do the research to kind of show that they were empirically based. But they were my opinions. And I used to say to friends, and I used to say it jokingly, but I think I was probably being quite serious, about what's the point of having opinions if you're not going to share them with others. In other words, ram them down people's throats at every opportunity that you have. And I think I felt like that. I think I felt sociology gave me a platform. So as I got more involved with Buddhism, I began to see how this way of working was deeply in conflict with my developing Buddhist practice and sensibility. And this became even clearer when I reflected on the very discipline that I was working in. Sociology is a thoroughly rationalist, materialist modern discipline. It came into being to explain modernity. And sociology was my passion. Coupled with a kind of teenage rejection of Catholicism, I felt at home within sociology. It provided a place for me to critically deconstruct the society I lived in, to be the angry feminist, you know, a place to channel my anger at the perceived injustices and wrongs of society, and religions were definitely included in that. So when I first encountered the Dharma and I started kind of reading it and kind of getting into it, I got really excited because I started exploring the connections between the Dharma and sociology. So for example, I thought, okay, so the Dharma talks about conditioned co-production. Well, sociology talks about social constructionism. Great! And I started to kind of see these links. And initially I felt that there was absolutely no conflict between the two. In other words, my identity as a sociologist wasn't under threat whatsoever. However, as my understanding of the Dharma deepened, I could see the differences between the two start to emerge. And I had to acknowledge that there was, for me, no room in sociology for the transcendental, for the spiritual. Instead of Buddhism and sociology being in parallel, which it felt like at the beginning for me, I kind of started to see them go very separate and go down very different paths. And I kind of intuitively knew that I couldn't follow both. I felt increasing conflict when I was teaching, because I felt that I had to kind of almost put my Buddhism on one side, and it didn't feel true to who I was or in line with my deepest aspirations. I felt in conflict when I was chasing large research grants that I kind of felt were quite obscene in some ways. And in lots of different ways, it started to feel a big conflict for me. And I think probably of all the reasons underpinning my decision to go forth in my career, that's probably the most painful one for me in many respects, because sociology had been, for many years, my first love. It was my way of making sense of the world. It wasn't just an interesting subject, it was who I was. I was a sociologist. I met somebody at Christmas time on a retreat who used to be an academic psychologist. And she said she used to meet people and say, "Hi, I'm a psychologist." And I thought, "Yeah, actually. Hi, I'm a sociologist." And it was almost a bit like that. That was who I was. It was so strong in me. And to step back from that, to realise that however sophisticated sociology might be, it was only partial. That has a product of the conditioned. It was ultimately flawed and couldn't really satisfy my longing for deeper value in my life. Was deeply painful. And I think in some respects it probably still is. And that's because, as I said, sociology provided me with an identity, a way to be in the world. And to leave that behind, to step into the unknown, has in some respects felt like spiritual death, or at least a mini spiritual death. And I remember, particularly in the first few months of having left work, being aware that I no longer had an institutional identity. I no longer had a work-based identity. And this is really embarrassing. Before, when I worked, if I googled my name, you know, as we all do from time to time, I would be in the top three. I would come up on there. Suddenly, now, I seem to no longer exist. And I know this because I tried it last night. I'm not there. I'm just not there anymore. And it is like I have become a nobody. And I was thinking of the title of the book, of being nobody going nowhere. And in one sense, that is liberating. In a spiritual sense, it's deeply disconcerting in the mundane sense, if I'm being honest. But Subhuti writes, an order member, he's written in his latest paper, "The crux of the Dharma life is the transition from the mundane to the transcendental path." And so perhaps my leaving sociology has been a small step towards that transcendental path. And in keeping with that, I don't see it purely in terms of just leaving something. I also see it in terms very much of moving towards something. And I always keep in my mind saying by Sangharakshita about if you're not moving forward on the spiritual path, then you're moving backwards, and that feels very resonant for me. And so around the same time I made the decision to actually leave my job, and I left a year later, I actually asked for ordination. And in asking for ordination, I felt I was publicly making a statement that I was committing myself to the practice of trying to move away from being motivated by greed, hatred, delusion, to be motivated by higher values, generosity, kindness, wisdom. And of course, I'm under absolutely no illusion that this is probably nearly 100% aspirational most of the time, but I think I'm facing in the right direction. So finally, I want to say a few words about what it's been like since leaving my job. So in many ways, it has been totally liberating to be free of a life that I felt increasingly constrained by, that no longer seemed to fit who I was or who I aspire to be. I have been able to focus on deepening my practice through retreats, probably far too many retreats, through study and reflection in ways that I couldn't before. I've had opportunities to work in right livelihood businesses, which have and continue to help me deepen my practice, albeit in often unexpected and challenging ways. I've had space to be, and I really rejoice in that, and I feel very grateful to have had the opportunity to be able to do it. And it's probably been one of the most difficult years of my adult life, and on good days I also rejoice in that. On the bad days, I fantasize and plot and wonder how I might claw my way back into academia. And it's probably only been through the help of good spiritual friends, some of which are in this room, and my deepening commitment that I've been able to see that to go back to academia would at the moment be to run back to safe ground. It would be to run back to what I know, and most importantly, who I was. Instead, I feel at the moment I'm engaged in a process of kind of almost sifting through my past and seeing what kind of needs to be discarded and what I need to kind of integrate into my present and my future. So, for example, I loved teaching. I absolutely loved it, and I miss it. And I look forward to teaching the Dharma one day. But I know, or at least I hope, that when I do it, that it will be a very different experience. It won't be, well, I hope it won't be, a kind of identity-reinforcing, ego-clinging activity. And I think this probably brings me to my final point. For me, going forth, and I think it probably echoes in what Jack and Hank are also saying as well, for me, going forth is not a kind of one-off event, but an ongoing kind of continual process. There might have been a cut-off point when I left my job, but I feel I am kind of continually doing that going forth. In this instance, I think it's trying to undo a particular very strong social identity that was central to the construction of myself and stepping into the unknown. Thank you.